There is a perception that the gray wolf population in Oregon is slowly growing. The perception is mostly right, especially in the case of last year. Emphasis on the term slowly. The official state count of wolves for 2021 is 2 wolves bigger than the year before. Conservation groups call last year the worst year for Oregon's wolf population since wolves returned to Oregon. Bethany Cotton is the conservation director of the group Cascadia Wildlands and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Bethany, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff.
So before we get to specifics, give the general trends you see contributing to the population picture for gray wolves in Oregon.
Absolutely. Well, the primary reasons that last year were rough on the population was unprecedented mortality. So 26 wolves were confirmed killed. That is almost assuredly an undercount. Those are just the wolves that the agency, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, was able to track, largely because they were collared or because they were hit by cars and it was reported and they could collect the carcass of the animal. And that is a nearly threefold increase from previous year's mortality count. Unfortunately, a significant portion of that was illegal killings by poisoning. So 8 wolves were killed in 4 different poisoning incidents last year, and a really high rate of killing by the agency itself. ODFW killed 8 wolves last year, the majority of an entire pack, including very, very young pups, which had never happened before and is not supported by the science. So we had 21 of those 26 were killed by humans, 4 by vehicles, which is also a really concerning increase from previous years.
So obviously some things happening, you know, people hitting the animals with their cars, and the poisoning thing is definitely a different kind of concern, which I want to get into in a bit.
Sure.
But given all of the factors, though, was 2021 potentially a singular kind of year? I mean, you had a couple of different things going on, not just the things that happened directly to wolves, but you also had the feds removing Endangered Species Act protection in Western Oregon, and that stayed off until, February of this year?
That's right. So the Endangered Species Act protections at the federal level were absent for nearly the entirety of 2021, just about a week into the year those protections were pulled. Those were just for the western portion, as you mentioned, of the state, and only 2 of the mortalities occurred in the western portion. So the federal protection issue didn't impact things too much. Those poisonings are illegal regardless. You can't kill wildlife by poisoning, whether they're protected by the Endangered Species Act or not. That's illegal under state law. So that also isn't really an issue of the federal protections. And then a court this year in February reinstated those protections. So the western third of Oregon has federal protections now, but the eastern two-thirds continues to be unprotected at the federal level.
So let's come into some of the specifics here and start with the total population. 175 wolves in Oregon, says the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, based on what hard information?
They do some pretty significant counting, so they have quite a few collared wolves, and then they do aerial surveys where they have a general idea of where the wolf packs are, and they go out and take a look. And I want to be clear that 175 is the known minimum population, so the assumption is that it's actually larger than that, but that's the number they were able to track, and they do that over the course of a couple months in the late winter, early spring, which is why we get the numbers in April, even though we're talking about a count from the 2021 population.
All right, so that was part of the question, was that the true number could in fact be higher. This is the known minimum based on the kinds of surveillance they are able to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they've been doing it for quite a long time, and they use the same methodologies, so we can track that population trend pretty well.
Right. So year to year, it doesn't change, is what you're saying. So the procedure doesn't change, so
the
numbers are reliable or not in the same way year to year.
Precisely.
Okay. So no particular consolation for you in that.
No, I mean, it's definitely concerning. The state assumed a population trend, a minimum population trend of 8% when state protections were removed, and obviously that did not happen this year, so that's an average over time, and this year we were only just a little over 1%, which is a very concerning shift.
Bethany Cotton is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the conservation director of the conservation group Cascadia Wildlands. We are talking about 2021, identified by the group as the worst year for Oregon's wolf population since the return of wolves. This is a conversation you are welcome to join. Your questions, your comments are welcome on the Jefferson Exchange on the topic of wolves in Oregon, and for that matter in California. 800-838-3760 to join us by phone, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I did take a look at the official count from ODFW and noticed, among other things, the graph of breeding pairs. That seems to be three straight years of decline, which would be a first since wolves came back to Oregon, too.
Yes, that's also concerning.
Uh-huh. And do anybody know what the driver is there?
Well, there are a number of factors. We don't know for sure exactly what's happening. Some of that is the kind of disturbance that happens when you have wolves that are poisoned or wolves that are shot. It disrupts pack structure. So wolves are pretty similar to humans. They live in family groups, and they have a female and a male that are the leaders of that family group, and the aunts and uncles and siblings help raise the new pups every year. And like other families, if you remove the parents, there's disruption, and you can have packs break up and distribution. So some of it is unnatural disturbance caused by these human-caused mortalities, and some of it may be entirely normal in the sense that wolves naturally have a sense of carrying capacity on the landscape. So if you get to about the place where the habitat can support that a certain number of packs, then it can stabilize the number of packs, and then wolves will naturally disperse into new habitats. And you can see that pattern over the years in Yellowstone, where for quite some time after the reintroduction, the population increased quite a bit. And then at a certain point, it seemed like they'd reached the amount that the habitat could support, and it kind of stabilized. But the concern about whether that's actually happening is that the population in the western third of the states did not grow, and only 13% of the population's in the west, and there's quite a bit of suitable unoccupied habitat yet. So while it's possible they're reaching carrying capacity in certain portions of the state, we definitely haven't statewide.
I was a little surprised about that population distribution myself. I know that it's, you know, since OR7 came west of the Cascades and everybody began to think, ooh, wolves are back in western Oregon, didn't realize that the growth of the wolf population has been a good deal slower west of the mountains than east.
That's definitely true. I mean, some of that is that major highways are significant barriers to distribution and a threat to the individual animals. As we've seen, the wolf that moved into well into California last year was in fact hit on I-5, and roads are a serious threat. The other portion is that those wolves have to navigate the population centers in order to move into more western habitats, and they're not interested in being where there's a lot of human activity. So it'll take a little while for them to find those pockets of habitat.
So, Bethany, in the east of Oregon, are there more wolves than the state management plan calls for?
Well, the state management plan doesn't call for a cap. There is no such thing as a population cap. The plan has different plans for managing based on how many wolves are there, and we did reach a threshold that meant that there were different levels of protection and different processes that the state agency follows around management, especially when it comes to predations on livestock. But there's no such thing as a population cap.
All right. So, and I don't, you know, if there were such a clause in any management plan, it would probably be really deep in there. But is there any discussion in Oregon openly of relocating wolves to try to get that distribution figured out better?
No, that kind of intervention just really isn't very scientifically based now that wolves are here. I think the intention is to let them naturally distribute themselves into key and suitable habitat. And the other piece I would just note is that, like other carnivores, wolves are a naturally regulating species, so they will self-regulate their population, and if there's not enough of a prey base to support them, they'll move or they will have a smaller population. And in fact, in states where there are more healthier population of wolves, often the highest cause of mortality there is other wolves. They'll fight over territory and and there will be conflict-caused mortalities. So there isn't really a concern that we would ever have an overpopulation of wolves.
Wow, I hadn't heard about the wolves fighting each other for territory like that. That was obviously not happening in Oregon at this point.
No.
No. Okay. Bethany Cotton, again, our guest on The Exchange, Conservation Director for Cascadia Wildlands. We're talking about 2021 as a bad year for the wolf population in Oregon because the total, as expressed in typical, in the standard ways by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, grew by 2 from 2020. You can join us at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Let's come back to the 26 confirmed kills. This includes the poachings and the car kills?
It does.
Mm-hmm. But also for cattle protection as well. How much of that was going on last year?
The 8 killings by ODFNW were in response to predations on livestock. The really controversial aspect of that is that for the first time ever, and in a move that no one in the conservation community had ever contemplated, the agency actually aerially gun shot from the air 12-week-old wolf pups, and pups of that age are not participating in hunts, so those animals were not responsible for any predation on livestock. And the agency claimed that was to reduce the caloric needs of the pack, which is not something that science has ever demonstrated is a viable or appropriate approach. So it's very controversial that the agency made that decision.
When you said pups before, I was going to ask you how old, a week old, you're saying? 1 week?
12 weeks old.
12 weeks
Three
old.
Months.
Okay.
Yep.
12, okay.
And they are barely weaned, and they are certainly not participating in hunts at that stage of life.
So, Bethany, remind people what the rules are on protection of livestock herds. What requirements before anybody resorts to being able to kill a wolf?
Well, it's a little bit complicated, and it depends on where you are in the state, because the status under the state plan is different in the western third of the state than it is in the eastern. If a livestock producer from the industry finds a wolf in active predation, then that producer can take that wolf. And if the producer then finds an animal that's been killed or injured, they call the agency, and the agency comes out and conducts an investigation into what that cause is, because there are lots of causes of livestock death and injury that are not wolves. And then in the event that it is demonstrated that wolves were responsible, then there are a number of steps that can be taken. The producer is supposed to use non-lethal deterrence, so there are a plethora of tools that, when used correctly, really reduce incidents of predation and can largely prevent them entirely. The problem is they're not always used correctly, and their producers sometimes choose not to use them, which is very, very unfortunate. And then if those measures are in place and it's still not working, and there are still incidences, then at a certain point, the agency can go ahead and issue what's called a kill order, either to that producer, or the agency can take action itself.
So the practices meant to get the wolves away, you know, the various kinds of hazing, you know, the parking lot airmen and the bells and the flags and all the other things. Is there a particular order in which those are supposed to be used? I mean, in talking to people who've gotten involved with some of this before, it sounds like one of the issues is that the wolves do figure things out after a while.
Well, so one of the problems, especially with the flagging, is that if they're not taken down, then the wolves will get used to it. So you need to use them appropriately. You put them up during the season when the livestock are out in the fields or on the public land, and then you take them down. When they get left up, then sure, like any intelligent animal, a wolf can get used to it. One of the most effective preventative tools is to have range riders out, but that needs to be actually range riding, where you have folks out on horseback or with livestock guardian dogs that are with the animals a large portion of the time. What doesn't work is when you say you have a range rider, but they're sitting in a car and they're only driving roads and they're not actually near the animals. So it really matters whether you appropriately use the tools. They're very effective when they're used correctly.
Let's talk about the poisoning cases. Was it 8 altogether poisoned?
8 animals killed, 4 separate incidents.
Okay. And now there's a big reward out there for information, or do we know if leads are at least coming in?
Well, because it's an active investigation, we don't get a lot of updates about that, but our hope is that they are actively investigating. There is a very large award. It's over $50,000, most of which was put up by the conservation community, that would lead to prosecution, successful prosecution. We have had at least 3 additional poaching incidents in 2022, so this trend is continuing. Those were wolves that were shot. And it's really deeply concerning that folks are doing that. And there's also concern that the fact that many of these wolves are collared means that somehow folks are tracking those collars and leading people to these wolves. So it's an interesting dichotomy of it's important to have those collars for science. It's also potentially problematic if that information gets into the wrong hands.
Is it true the state has hired more staff to handle poaching cases?
The state hired a anti-poaching prosecutor, and that person has recently come on board, which is great. That person does not have original jurisdiction, which is a complicating factor, so has to be invited in by the county district attorney in order to have authority to fully investigate the cases. So we think that person should have shared jurisdiction and be able to use all of the law enforcement resources to fully investigate these cases.
Bethany, give us a sense. I don't know if you have many discussions with people in the ranching business, for example. I mean, is there some common ground acceptance that at least wolves will be in Oregon?
I think that's true. It depends. There will likely continue to be some virulently anti-wolf ranchers, but there are definitely pro-wolf ranchers and plenty of folks who believe in coexistence and understand that this is a native species that belongs on the landscape and that it was a mistake to have tried to eradicate them, and it's a huge conservation success to see them return. I think there's also some recognition that wolves play an important role in the ecosystem, including natural disease control and removing the weak and sick animals from herds, from elk and deer herds, and that helps prevent spread of diseases. So we certainly hear from folks that enjoy seeing the wolves and are happy to use the coexistence tools, and they really are proven effective that way. And then you have some folks that are very wedded to inaccurate anti-wolf rhetoric and really negative stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. About 10 seconds left. I think 2022 will be better than 2021 for wolves in Oregon.
I certainly hope so.
We shall see. All right. Not a great year for wolves. As we mentioned, the wolf population for 2021 in Oregon, official count, 2 bigger than 2020, which is a very small increase. Bethany Cotton is the conservation director at Cascadia Wildlands, concerned about that. Bethany, thanks for joining us and sharing the concerns on the exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.
No pleasure.